Well, good morning to each of you. Good to see everyone here as we have come together to worship our God and to grow in the grace and knowledge of His will, and especially remembering what He has done for us, providing a way that we could be His children and having the hope of heaven. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you, if you will, at this time, turn to Isaiah chapter 2. We'll look at a few things from there and then some other passages in reference to the lesson this morning, as we have been dealing with several challenges concerning our technology this morning. We're going to do the best we can, and hopefully everything continues to stream online. We certainly are glad of those who have joined us online as well. And we, again, encourage you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 2, and then we'll go from there. Remember, our theme this year has been dealing with living victoriously in Christ. And we've seen where that is taken from the 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, or 16, excuse me. And as you're looking through that, you know, this topic or this theme that we, the elders, have decided to go through this year, I'll tell you, I can see how it all really plays a part and fits into what we're going through, especially in 2021. And I hope that it has been encouraging to you to look at these passages of what the writer, Paul, telling us in reference to God. Remember that first verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. We are going through a lot of challenges. There are cultures that are developed and that we are experiencing, especially in this country, and there has been time where these things have occurred in time past. And for example, we're dealing with what we call the woke culture. And then we're also dealing with what we call the cancel culture as well. And because of these cultural developments, it has created a lot of anxiety in people, a lot of fear. And if we're not careful, we can end up being wrapped up in these things and forget what Paul has told us through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, told us in reference to we're being led in triumph as we see these different cultures develop or come about in our day and time. And in our society, we think that these things are new. But they're not. They have been done for centuries. They have just been called something else. And we're going to see that as we look at a few things this morning. Now, when we're talking about this culture, we're talking about really the quality in a person or society that arises from a concern for what is regarded as excellent in arts, letters, manners, scholarly pursuits, etc. And then it also deals with the behavior and beliefs and characteristic of a particular social, ethnic, or age group. That's the idea of culture. They develop a way of thinking, there's a way of behavior in reference to actions. And that points out what culture is about. And then when we talk about the idea of cancel culture, it means to make void something, or to call something off, or to not allow an event to take place. And that's this idea of cancel culture. Not only that, with the cancel culture, we will also see that actions are taking place to where individuals or groups of people are being silenced. One might experience in this cancel culture who may have a career and then all of a sudden this cancel culture mentality and their career is ruined or destroyed. Or they're isolated from other people. That's the idea of silencing. And it creates a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, because we are social beings. In fact, when you think about what has happened over the last year and few months here in connection to the pandemic, there has been isolation. And what is interesting, there is a middle-aged group in reference to the isolation that had continued to function and do certain things. And then on the upper echelon, the older generation, they have been told certain things, and then all of a sudden it has created a way of thinking. And then on the other end of that spectrum or age group, you have young people where what has been reported in the statistics that there has been an increase of suicide. And it's because of this idea of isolation and a lack of hopelessness in their mind. And a lot of pressure has been placed on that younger group, and that they feel like they are an outcast, that no one likes them, especially when we are in a society where you're trying to gain attention. And it has developed these cultures. And then there has been the struggle, especially over the last year or so, within the political spectrum as well. So this is this idea of these cultures that have developed. But again, it's not anything new. It's new to us because we have heard, or it's been phrased or titled a certain way. And then what you have in reference to this culture as well is what they call, the cancel culture. In other words, to make void these particular things and the behavior and so forth. And some of these idea of really being violent towards others and so forth. And then you get to deal with the woke culture. And in the woke culture, the idea of being conscious of racial discrimination in society and other forms of oppression and injustice. And that's been the idea. Anyone who's aware of this, and they point out like police brutality, economic injustices and so forth, imprisonments of certain groups and so forth. And so in the mainstream use, woke can also more generally be described as someone or something as being with it. And that's this idea of this woke culture. I'm aware, and then all of a sudden, then comes in the cancel culture of certain things. If you're not this, then you get canceled out. You get silenced. You get ostracized, isolated, and then ruined in some instances. This morning, what I want to deal with is that there is a superior culture that is indestructible. Like I said, these things are not new. Do you know that the Apostle Paul practiced totalitarianism? Do you realize that he practiced that? Look with me over in Acts chapter 26. And we're going to see this idea of groups getting together and putting pressure to cancel or to oppress individuals. In Acts chapter 6, as the apostle is standing before King Agrippa and giving his defense, I want you to notice with me verses 9 through 14 as he's telling, recounting his actions before King Agrippa before he became a Christian. I want you to notice what he says. He says, "So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile," notice, "to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison." Notice the culture that's being canceled. It is the saints. That's what he was doing. He was practicing these things that I was talking about earlier. And we, as I said, these things are not new. They've been going on for centuries. And then he also said, "Having received authority," there is a totalitarianism, "from the chief priests, But also, when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. He locked them up in prison. And he received authority from the chief priest. In verse 11, and as I punished them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. There is totalitarianism there. There is that cancel culture concept. Here is the woke culture being practiced by the apostle before he became a Christian. And he says, and being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. So it's not new. It's just worded differently. And that's why we are encouraged to be very careful about these kinds of things. And we need to look to and continue to follow the superior culture. In verse 12, he says, while so enraged as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. And then he talks about at midday, he encounters the glorified Christ. You see, Paul had to come to the realization that there was a greater power than his. There was a greater power than the authorities of the chief priest. And those other authorities that he received permission to go and pursue Christians to try to wipe them out. He had to learn that there was a greater power, a greater authority. And he learned that on the way of on his way to Damascus. And he's telling King Agrippa about this. And then he talks about his conversion. To now he's a proclaimer of the truth. He is a proclaimer of the superior and dominant culture teaching. And that is the teaching of God. Now remember, I encourage you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 2. And in Isaiah chapter 2, I want you to notice verses 2 through 4. As the prophet speaks to Israel, he says, now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. And all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples, many ethnicities, nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his cultures, his culture, or his ways. See? And that we may walk in his path or in his culture. And then he talks about here is the law that will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so when you go back to Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what they're doing. They are proclaiming the law of God and they are proclaiming the message of hope. And it began in Jerusalem, then Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That is that superior culture that Isaiah is speaking of here, the dominant. Look with me over to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, where Paul writes to the Colossian brethren, and he points out to them this important point to help them to realize that it is all about God's culture. He says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all the transgressions, having canceled. Here is the true cancel culture here. This is the best, the ultimate cancel culture. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he had publicly display of them, having triumphed over them through him, through Christ. So the true cancel culture is the cancel culture that God has promoted and is proclaimed in his name, of canceling out a debt. And that debt is our sins or our transgressions against him. Because of sin, because of our disobedience. And the Colossian writer, Paul, talks about that. So if any cancellation or kind of cancel culture, this is the best cancel culture. To make void this debt that we owe God because we transgressed against him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which further shows this cancellation and what is being referred to. Where Paul says in verse 9, as he writes to the Corinthian brethren, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." He talks about neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers and swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now I want you to notice verse 11 in thinking about the ultimate cancel culture that God provides. "Such were some of you, but you were washed." There it is. "But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our Lord." That is the true cancel culture. That's the cancel culture. That's the culture you want to follow. A culture that is able to do that. Because all these other cultures that are out there in reference to the cancel culture of what we call in our society today, the woke culture, it's not going to be able to do away with this and make us right with God. That is the ultimate sought after goal that everyone is to have. Because our souls hang in the balance in reference to eternity. And so that brings me, with all of that, to the title of the lesson. The indestructible culture of God. The indestructible culture of God. Why is that? Why is it indestructible? As we looked at Isaiah chapter 2, where it talks about teaching us his ways, that we might walk in his paths, or his path. And then you look back again at Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, we begin to learn why the culture of God is indestructible. In verses 9, or 8 through 11, the apostle, or the prophet, excuse me, says this, as the Spirit of God reveals through him God's will. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater," he says, "so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth, and it will not return to me empty." That's why it's indestructible. This indestructible culture. And he says, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. That is indestructible there. And this was spoken long ago. Remember, as Isaiah reveals these things to Israel, again, they were going through some of these kinds of cultural challenges as well. That's why they are written so that when we read back at the history of these events, we see the cultural challenges going on. And we get to see that. And then God's Word comes in and says, look, I'm going to tell you, my Word is not going to come back empty. What I set it out to do, it's going to accomplish. So that is an indestructible culture that God is teaching. The failure is not God's Word. The failure is the individuals. That's where the failure was. Those who truly had faith in the Lord followed His way. They recognized that His thoughts were higher than theirs. They recognized that His ways were higher than theirs. And they submitted themselves to His thoughts and His ways. And there are those that rejected them. And when they rejected God's cultural teaching, they ended up being punished for their wickedness. So throughout the scriptures and throughout history, we've seen these things occur. So it's not anything new. But the message is still the same. And that is follow the cultural teaching of God. Because it's indestructible. As Isaiah points out to us there in chapter 55. So His thoughts and ways are higher than man's. So if we're following this so-called cancel culture in our society today, we're following a weak culture. The best culture, an indestructible culture, is God's culture because of what Isaiah tells us. Here's something else in connection to that. Acts chapter 5, verses 34 through 39. Now remember that Peter and John had been preaching about Jesus. They healed the lame man, and they are threatened. And they're figuring out, what are we going to do with these individuals? Because they keep preaching Jesus. They keep preaching the culture of God in Christ Jesus. And so they're about to do harm to them, and Gamaliel steps to the plate. He says, I want you to recognize something, brethren. He says to the men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. And they took his advice. See, Gamaliel is pointing out what we're dealing with this morning in this topic of the indestructible culture of God. That's what we're dealing with. And Gamaliel recognizes this as he's warning these individuals about that. You won't be able to overthrow it. You'll be opposing God and you will lose. And that's what he's pointing out in this advice to them. That's why God's culture is indestructible. Here's something else that is pointed out. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Here is the culture of God's teaching. And notice what Peter says as he's writing to the Christians, preparing them to suffer. That you're going to experience some cultural challenges. They're going to try to persecute you. They're going to try to wipe you out. They're going to blame you. They're going to slander you. See, those are the cultural aspects that they would be going through. And notice what he says. He says, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. Key word. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. There's two more words there. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord endures, there it is again, forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Do you remember what Isaiah says over in Isaiah chapter 2? Teaching us his ways. Peter is pointing out it is the truth that purifies you. And he talks about the seed. It is imperishable. It is living and it endures. It endures forever. And that's what he points out in these verses in reference to the culture of God. And so what we're seeing here, it is imperishable. It's living and enduring. And it endures forever. That's why God's culture is indestructible. And as we said, these things have been done through time. Guess what has happened? Exactly as Peter has said, men have come and gone. Cultures have come and gone. But whose culture is still standing? It is the culture of God that's still standing. So the very things that he's writing here, you can look back in history and you can see them. And that's the importance of looking at history. Especially God's history. The evidence is screaming. And so when we're looking at our day and time, and we can get caught up in these cultural things, and we can be pulled away from that which the apostle was encouraging the Corinthians to do and understand and rely on, and that is, we are being led in triumph when it comes to the culture of God. There in 2 Corinthians. And those verses clearly point these things out for us. Now, let's look at something else here in connection to these kinds of cultures that are existing in our society and their challenges. First of all, let's look at the woke culture. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, turn there with me. I want you to notice several things that is expressed here in these passages that deal with even our modern day woke culture, that God's culture is still indestructible and it will continue to endure. Now understand this. I am not saying that we don't have these challenges. I'm not saying that we're not going through these things. The remedy for them is still going to be God's culture. And sharing that culture with individuals, that's what's going to help. That is what's going to turn the tide to get us away from those kinds of cultures that are destructive to the relationship that we have with God and with each other. It's always going to be the culture of God that will be superior because it is indestructible. Verse 6 there of Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to notice several things that the apostle brings to the attention here. He says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." You see, when we are following these kinds of culture, understand they're going to be empty. They're not going to accomplish the reality that God is pointing out to us in His Word. And He says, "Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light contains, or consists, in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." Notice that list there of really being woke. here. For it is a disgrace or disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And he says, for this reason, it says, notice, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. True wokeness, to use our modern day term, true wokeness is when the light of Christ shines on us. That's true wokeness. That awakens you, and that brings you out of the sleep, out of this realm of death, because even though you might be following and you think that these things are good, and in some cases they might be, that they may be, they are, but it's still not going to be superior than the indestructible culture of God that truly awakens us. These things that have been revealed to us are very powerful things. And when we deviate from God's culture and go and follow those things, we are following something that is inferior. It's always going to be inferior. Tomorrow it may even fade away, but this won't. It will stand. Look at several other things in these verses here. Verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Notice what it's doing. God's culture is wising us up. We're following His path, and as we follow His path, we're going to be walking carefully. And then he says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. We will recognize that and we will see those things. When they're evil, we turn away from them. Why? Because of the culture of God that has awakened us and helped us to see it for what it truly is. And that anything less than God's culture, what's going to happen is going to lead you down a path of emptiness or to a destination that doesn't exist. It's only going to be found in God's culture, God's woke culture. And that's what we're seeing as the apostle is writing this to the Ephesian brethren. What you notice, remember, the brethren at Ephesus, or Ephesus was a port city. So you have all kinds of people coming in to that port city. All kinds of cultures that exist there. And yet, Paul is pointing out God's culture. What God's culture is going to do is going to bring everyone into harmony with Him and then with one another. No matter what their nationalities are, it's going to still be the same righteousness that we are to practice, the same goodness that we are to practice, as he mentioned earlier. And then he goes on, so then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We will understand what God's will is as we continue to follow His culture. We'll be able to even see, wow, the infinite wisdom of God in this. And then we rejoice at the fact that we're following His will. And then he goes on, he says, and do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, a waste. You see, the other cultures that you might be following, it's really a waste. But not God's culture. God's culture is leading to salvation and eternal life. That's why it's so important. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. See, the focus is on God and thankful for His revelation of His culture, the teachings of His ways, because His ways are higher than ours. And we'll be giving thanks. Wow, I'm glad Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see this or helping me to see the reality. Where I was lost, but now I'm found, I'm on the path of eternal life. And then he goes on to say, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And then he says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You see what it's doing? It's bringing about unity. And that's what's being pointed out to us here in Ephesians chapter 5. This indestructible culture of God. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, that is the lesson about the prodigal son. And there's a point that is made in those verses about the prodigal son who had gone, who had taken his inheritance, and he went and he spent it on unrighteous living. Now his life is in shambles. He's eating with the pigs. And then he finally comes to his senses. That's woke. You see, when the Bible says that he came to his senses, that means he was awakened and he realized that it was better at his father's house than where he is now. You see, his woke culture led him to this path of poverty and destruction, eating with the pigs, and he realized that the culture that his father had developed was the best culture because everyone, even the servants, are being treated better. And then here you come. I'm going home. I'm going home. And as he's going home, his father greets him. A warm welcome. And I'm sure he felt shamed and embarrassed that he had allowed himself to follow down this path. And his father doesn't kick him. His father rejoices that he had come to his senses and realized that the culture that was provided him was the best culture. That's what we're saying about the culture of God. It is indestructible and it is the best culture to follow even in the midst of the changes in our society and time and those proclaiming to have such cultures. God's culture is where we need to stand. And that's what we are encouraged by these things. And I hope that you are able to see this and probably even learn some lessons as well and some other passages that could help in bringing out the thought of the indestructible culture of God. And I hope that I have stimulated that kind of thinking, that we can help our friends and our neighbors to see that God's culture is indestructible and it is the best culture to follow. And that we would follow them and do his will and proclaim his excellencies as his people. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Gracious, kind, Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have revealed to us, showing us the right way, letting us be able to see that all the changes in our society, the cultures that may exist, yours is the best, that we might humbly submit to it, that we might engage in it and allow it to rule our hearts and minds, that we might follow your path that leads to eternal life with you. Help us, Lord, to see your goodness, your graciousness, and realize that we are truly being led in triumph in Christ Jesus, and that we may give you the praise, glory, and honor, and the thanksgiving for your indestructible ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you're not a Christian, you can become a part of God's culture. God has made it possible through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, outside of Christ, you're drowning in sin. That is that culture there. And you need saving, as we all do, because we all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And the only way to get out of that situation or be saved is through God's life preserver in Christ Jesus. That's what the apostle expressed there in Ephesians chapter 5. That's what Paul was expressing as well in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. All through the Christ. And what God requires of us to be a part of his culture is to have faith in his teachings. And especially in the gospel about his son's death for you and I, his resurrection, that we could have hope. And then that we are to repent of our sins, to turn away from these cultures that are leading us down a destructive path, but that we might follow his path, that we change and get on his path, and therefore confess him as Lord, that he is the leader of this culture, and that we're going to follow him wherever he leads us. We're going to be baptized in him. Where you and I are immersed in water because of our faith, an appeal to God for good conscience or clean conscience. When our sins are washed away, they are canceled, forgiven, then raised up out of the water in this newness of life, following him wherever he leads us, and he is leading us to the Father, to eternity with him. And so this morning, if you have not obeyed the Christ, we encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. But if you started out and you've fallen away, you've gotten off that path, the encouragement is to come back and get on that path, because his culture is indestructible. It's leading to eternal life, and you're being led in triumph. And so return before it's everlasting too late. And we're here to help. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. So if you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and as we sing the song that is indicated.